Welcome. You are listening to a UC Davis Center for Poverty Research conference podcast. I'm the center's director, Ann Stevens. In March of 2015, the center hosted the conference Increasing College Access and Success for Low-Income Students. This conference brought together a unique mix of researchers, policy professionals, and education leaders to discuss new research and opportunities for low-income students. In this presentation, Alexander Mayer presents his work on community college developmental education. Mayer is a research associate at MDRC, a nonprofit, nonpartisan education and social policy research organization dedicated to learning what works to improve programs and policies that affect the poor.
Hi, my name is Alex Mayer. I'm very pleased to be here. I graduated from UC Davis. I did my graduate studies here. And it's just very exciting to be part of this conference, and especially to be talking about so many programs that we're evaluating using randomized controlled trials and having such good conversations about this. I want to talk first a little bit about MDRC for anybody who's not familiar with our organization. We're a nonprofit organization. We do research on social policy and programs that are designed almost exclusively for low-income people. Our work started about 40 years ago doing welfare-to-work type programs, evaluations, and really focused on employment outcomes, and has expanded since then in the early 2000s into the area of post-secondary education, really with a recognition that a lot of the low-income populations that we were studying who were served by the programs of our research faced educational barriers that were related to their employment outcomes. So in the early 2000s, we launched a series of trials to study programs in community colleges. And so most of our research is in community colleges. It touches in four-year colleges as well. And today I'm going to just provide an overview of several of our major research projects and talk about some of the successes and challenges. I haven't advanced beyond talking about challenges and opportunities, but it's really a nice framework. For thinking about this. And towards the end, I want to talk about some of the work that we're doing, looking ahead, some of the research that we're planning for, and work that's already started for the next 5 years. I should say that my name is up here, but there's a lot of people who have contributed to this work. We're a fairly large organization. We have about 300 people, and we do collaborations with government agencies, with community colleges across the country. You know, one of the themes earlier this morning was really about the marathon of research, I think it's really an apt analogy for us. It's almost like a series of marathons and relays, and I'm really just at the tail end here. There's a lot of work that's come before me, but I'll just jump right into it. And so, just for a little bit of context, to highlight sort of the issues that were important, that are important when we're thinking about community college students and specifically about students in developmental education, Tom already touched on many of these. I just want to really highlight the fact that when we're talking about developmental education, we're talking about a large proportion of the students who come into community colleges underprepared for college-level material. Students come in and take assessment tests, and up to two-thirds of these students are placed into courses that they have to take before they can even start earning college-level credits towards a degree. As I said, we're very focused on low-income populations, and many of the students in community colleges, and particularly in our studies, have high amounts of existing financial need. And, you know, also what Tom highlighted, these conditions are highly associated with very low completion rates. About two-thirds of the students in community colleges don't earn a degree. And so there's recognition of this problem, and there's growing recognition, and it's really in an area of a lot of salience right now, which creates both opportunities and challenges. And so there's a lot of reform going on in community colleges. It's great to see that so much attention to this issue, but there's really a lack of systematic research, even about what colleges are doing across the country. So what are the reforms that colleges are trying? How are they working to improve the outcomes of their students and serve them in new and different ways? We just don't know what's happening systematically in a lot of respects, but there's also limited research on the evidence of these practices. And so there's a lot going on to study these programs, but at the same time, this creates challenges for us when we're doing the research, and particularly when we're thinking about some of the more comprehensive interventions that take longer to materialize within a college and to develop. The status quo is really changing underneath what we're doing. And so we look at new reforms, and by the time we've done our evaluations and can start to think about what are the effects, the status quo has in fact changed. And so this poses one problem in terms of interpreting our results, but it can also pose problems just in terms of testing different theories. And so comprehensive reforms that bring in different interventions into a package, sometimes those reforms are actually changing for the control group. And so we're not able to test the package and the holistic theory. We're only really testing a portion of it. So today I'm going to provide an overview of four projects. It's actually a little misleading, as you can see. Several of these projects, in fact, encompass lots of other projects. The first project I'm going to talk about is the learning communities. The first project and the second project, the performance-based scholarships, both started in some of our initial research in community colleges and in part led to larger demonstrations to try to replicate what we were seeing in some of the earlier findings. And both projects led to multi-site demonstrations, and I'll talk about the research and the programs involved in those projects and some of the results. I'm also going to talk, many of you have probably heard of the program ASAP, the Accelerated Studies and Associate Programs. It's getting a lot of attention right now. It's really sort of the shining star, at least for us at MDRC. We're seeing very positive results, and I want to talk about that program, but also the plans that we have for pushing that forward. And then a new national center that was established last year that several people here are part of to study developmental education. And there's three large studies and some smaller supplemental studies. So learning communities. The first study I'm going to talk about was part of our Opening Doors demonstration, which included two other large trials. So each of these trials that I'm going to be talking about involves large samples of students. So generally, 1,000 or more students are involved in these studies themselves. A learning community, it captures a lot of things that Greg was just talking about, at least in terms of some of the things that it's trying to help students do in terms of engagement, but it co-enrolls cohorts of students together in a series of classes. And so in the Kingsborough Learning Community, students took three classes together. They generally had an English class, and they were mostly developmental education students, but there were some students who placed into college-level courses. And it paired the English course with another course that was required for their intended major, and it also provided a freshman orientation course. So these students took all three courses as a cohort and went through the classes together. The instructors across the different classes were supposed to collaborate, and particularly at Kingsborough, there was a strong collaboration. And they're supposed to integrate the curricula, so they're trying to make the course material itself more relevant to the students, to make connections across the classes that engage the student more directly with their education and help them see the connections across different subjects. And at Kingsborough and at other community programs, the program provided additional supports. So at Kingsborough, there was additional counseling, tutoring, and textbooks that were provided to the students. So the theory of change really is really about engaging students more directly and thoroughly in their education, but also helping them establish stronger relationships both among their peers and with their professors that can help them through the college experience and maybe deal with some of the adversities that students all experience in college, but particularly low-income students and particularly students with developmental needs. And then also that the benefits of the extra supports would help them. So I just want to talk briefly about the early results. These, as part of our research, we always do implementation, so qualitative research to understand kind of the strength of the program. Was it implemented with fidelity? Do we really see a treatment contrast? And here we saw a very strong implementation at Kingsborough for the Learning Communities program. And the program itself benefited from very strong support from the college administration. And the students we surveyed, we talked with them, and they did feel more integrated. It provided some support for the theory of change. And in fact, when we looked to The impacts during the program term, we saw that students were attempting and passing more of their courses. Students in the program group, again, this is a randomized trial, they earned more credits. This is just in the program term, so they earned an average of about 1.2 credits more than the control group, so that's about a third of a course. And they were advancing more quickly through the developmental education courses. So we did some follow-up on these students again. One of the important areas where we need to make progress if we're going to improve outcomes for community college students is really in terms of persistence. Students are leaving college without a degree, and we're trying to find strategies to help them stay in college, take more classes, and earn their degrees. We did not see an impact on persistence in this program, but we did see that our estimate on the average number of credits earned grew after four semesters of follow-up. So we saw after four semesters, students were earning about 2.5 more credits than students in the control group. So these were really very promising results. You have to remember this is a one-year or one-semester program. The program stopped, and we followed students for four more semesters, and we see at least some evidence that the impacts are growing. So looking at these results, we did two things, and by we I mean lots of people who came before me. But we got funding to follow these students for several more years to see if these sorts of impacts could in the long run translate into impacts on degree completion. And in part, this study led to a larger demonstration where we evaluated learning programs across the country. So I want to first turn to the longer-term follow-up, and here we see very promising results. If you look at the bar graph, the darker blue bars correspond to the credits that were earned by the program group. The white bar corresponds to the control group, and then of course above is the estimated impact. So in the first year, we saw an impact of over two credits. Due to the program. So here I should say these estimates are a little different than what I showed you before. We were able to collect data from across the CUNY system. Kingsborough is part of the City University of New York, and so students that in fact went to other colleges, we could collect their data. And you see that pretty consistently over the 6-year period, the impact estimates grow. And they remain statistically significant, at least at the 0.1 level, throughout the duration of the follow-up. By the end of year 6, we saw a 4-credit increase. And so this was previously sort of the shining star for us, or aspired to be the shining star. These impacts were associated with a small impact on degree completion. We saw about a 4.5 percentage point impact on degree completion after 4 years, and it really generated a lot of enthusiasm to see such a relatively short program have these long-term effects. So turning to the larger demonstration where we tried to see if these results would replicate across the country, I don't have time to go through all the details, but we did this in several other sites across the country. The three that are highlighted here had similarities to the Kingsborough program and the fact that they were all focused on English. All of the studies in this demonstration here were focused on developmental education students. These two focused on math for the learning communities link. And to do the larger demonstration, we also considered the original Kingsborough study, but only the students who placed in developmental education. So this is really a broader test of whether these learning communities can be effective for developmental education students specifically. But at Kingsborough, the majority of the population in the study were developmental education students. So these are the results from that demonstration. And so here we see that after the first semester, we do see a positive impact, but it's smaller. We have evidence of that after the second semester. And by the third semester, we don't have evidence any longer of a positive impact. The impact could still be there. There's lots more variation happening after three semesters. But these results really don't resonate with what we saw in the Kingsborough program. So this was really a difficult thing for us to reconcile. We did this larger demonstration. The Kingsborough results looked very promising. We saw, in fact, impacts on degree completion. And here we saw that more broadly, We weren't finding similar results. And there are a lot of possible explanations for this. There's variation in the programs across the demonstration. In particular, integrating across the curriculum was difficult and inconsistent. And there were some scaling challenges, especially in the first 2 years. And this was the case across the colleges. You know, these colleges were operating learning communities at a small scale. And we asked them, and they wanted to really expand these learning communities to serve more students. Excuse me. And so doing that was challenging. And so for the first two semesters, it posed some problems. But we do see modest impacts in the short term on average. And one of the themes that really emerges from our research, and that I want to pay special attention to, is that, you know, we're often looking at short term programs. So these are programs that affect students for one semester. We'll look at them, we'll see there's some positive effects, and then we say, okay, let's see, the program has stopped, we'll follow up for several more semesters or years, and we don't see evidence of the impacts, and it's disappointing to us. But in many respects, I feel bad for the programs almost, because they're, you know, doing almost what they're designed to do. They're having an impact on the students in the short term, and it's really our expectations may be too high for them in the long term. But as I said, we faced some real challenges trying to reconcile these results. We didn't come up with a clear explanation of why the Kingsborough results appeared so much better. It could be that it was just a much stronger program, that it was implemented more. It could be differences in the students. And it could be just the impact of the ideal program versus how it was implemented in the field. So how are learning communities programs operating generally across the country versus what is really the theory of how a learning community can impact students over time? So I'll turn back to that towards the end, but I want to talk about another large-scale demonstration that we did. This is a performance-based scholarships program. And it was launched out of the same initial demonstration. We're looking at performance-based scholarships in Louisiana. And so performance-based scholarships are, as again, these are all low-income students. These are need-based grants that students earn contingent on academic performance or on meeting certain student services. So in Louisiana, students could earn up to $1,000 a semester if they stayed enrolled part-time and if they earned enough part-time credits by the end of the semester. The scholarships are paid directly to students, so they can do whatever they want with the money. These were many low-income mothers. They could use it for childcare. They could use it for other needs. And they're paid on top of existing financial aid. So these are students who are on Pell. They get these scholarships in addition. The goal is really to address unmet financial need and make college more affordable, but also to incentivize students to take more classes, to earn more credits, and to improve their outcomes. So there's a couple of things that I want to highlight about Louisiana, in addition to the characteristics of the students in the program. We followed these students for three semesters. Less than 40% were registered in the second and third semesters. So this is a huge drop in their attendance, but and they're not earning a lot of credits. After three semesters, the average was just 7.7 earned credits. This program had a very positive effect, at least in the short term. It positively affected persistence in both the second and third semesters. This is an outcome that's, we've learned over time is very difficult for us to move, so it was very encouraging. And they were earning more credits. There's a 3.3 credit impact for students in the program group. So this, again, was very promising. In Louisiana, about the time of this study, during our follow-up period, Hurricane Katrina hit. So we weren't able to follow up these students for a longer period of time, but we did launch a larger performance-based demonstration at sites across the country. And so the original study was in Louisiana at two colleges. We launched another study. These are all large randomized trials in Ohio. This study was focused on low-income parents. And both these studies, these were areas where the state was repurposing existing TANF funding and trying to use it to help students advance. educationally. These programs were all designed around core principles at each of the sites that I'm going to talk about in terms of incentivizing students to take more classes, rewarding them, providing scholarships contingent on academic performance. But within those principles, the sites had flexibility to implement the programs, to design them around the perceived needs of their students. New York, we focused on adult learners. And in Hillsborough in Florida, we were focused on students with developmental math needs. And so the program was designed around incentivizing students to make progress in their developmental math sequence. We did do a study at a four-year college at the University of New Mexico, focused on traditional students. And here in this program, the scholarship incentivized students to take beyond 12 credits, beyond a full-time load, or 15 credits, what they would need to graduate within 5 years. And in Arizona, we focused on Latino, Hispanic males. And in California, we had a very unique program where students could take the scholarship to any college in the state. It was a portable scholarship. And the study itself was designed to try to ascertain if there were particular components of the scholarship that were more effective. So there were we randomized into six different groups. Students could get a scholarship that lasted for multiple semesters, for different durations, for different amounts, and we tried to test whether or not those sorts of factors could make a difference in students' progress. So here you'll see some early results from the demonstration. This is a demonstration that we're currently wrapping up, but this is just in the first year for students, and we see across all of these studies, we see positive point estimates. For four of the studies here, we see statistically significant findings. But in fact, in later years in both Florida and New Mexico, the point estimates grow and we see statistically significant impacts. And so here we're seeing very consistent results across all of the states and all of the sites in the demonstration. Although there is some variation, it's not really detectable by our statistical methods for the most part. And so this is promising, particularly because the programs had the flexibility to be tailored to the specific needs of the students. And so with the learning communities, we were really looking for, we didn't see the same types of consistent results, at least in terms of what we saw at Kingsborough and the very positive impacts. But here we saw that flexibility could still be associated with consistent and positive impacts. In some cases, as we're doing this longer-term follow-up now, at some of the colleges, we have up to 4 years or 5 years of credit and degree data. And we're seeing these are modest impacts. Again, these programs lasted for usually about 1 year. In some cases, they lasted for 2 years. And we're following these students for 4 or 5 years. The programs themselves, it's $1,000 or $2,000 for students. It's a sizable amount for students, but in the context of their financial aid package during that year, it's usually just about 10 or 20% of what students are getting. So it's important, but we need to think about it in the context, and this is really 1 or 2 years, and it's modest in terms of their financial packages over their academic careers. As I mentioned, we saw little detectable variation in impacts, but we did see that in some cases students reduced their loan packages, but were able to still have a greater financial aid due to the scholarships even after reducing loans. So there's also a lot of unanswered questions still about these scholarships. We gave all of the sites had the flexibility to tailor the programs, but there's still questions around do adding services or no services, is that a key part of these scholarships? In several of the sites, additional services were included with the program. Students could get additional tutoring and in fact were incentivized to take tutoring, but we're not really able to parse out how important that is. And our results in California are very specific to that population, but we don't really have a lot of evidence that altering the design of the scholarship has a big impact. And so one of the things that we've been talking about recently is really how to think about the implications of these scholarships for policy. And so we've often thought about this in terms of scholarship providers. It's a very relevant intervention for scholarship providers, but it also has implications for states, particularly as the economy is turning around and they're looking for new ways to use their existing funding in new directions to support students' education. Here we saw two states that used TANF money. So I'd probably get fired if I didn't talk about this program, and I'm running out of time. So I want to talk a little bit about the Accelerated Study and Associate Programs. This is an evaluation that we're running at CUNY, and this is really an example of something where we're not looking at a one-term program or a one-year program of a specific intervention. This is really a multifaceted intervention that brings together several different components to help students progress. So here, students are required to enroll full-time, but again, students know this when they enter the study, and so students in the control group have the same aspirations. They're encouraged to take DevEd early, and there's a strong messaging around graduating within 3 years, but there's a lot of financial support. Students know that they will not have to pay tuition after all of their financial aid is calculated. They have a tuition waiver. They also get Metro cards. So in the city of New York, this is very important. They get free Metro cards that they can use to travel around the city. It takes away the barrier for them of getting to college and also provides some incentive. Now, these Metro cards were also tied to visiting advisors, and so we used them both as a way to help students but also to engage them in some of the other supports that we thought were very important, and students were given free textbooks. Students were assigned to advisors that had much smaller caseloads. They also had to take advantage of tutoring services, career services, and then they had a block schedule. So they also had an element of cohort enrollment and were provided with early registration. So this is really a very comprehensive program. It's one of the most promising comprehensive programs that we've studied, but it's not cheap. You know, in a lot of our research, we talk about programs that are the silver bullet, and we're saying, oh, it's effective, but it's not a silver bullet. Mike Weiss, who is one of the authors on this report, he calls this the platinum bullet. This is really everything, almost everything we could think of doing, and we see large impacts on persistence. We see more students enrolling up from term to term. It's between 5 and 10 percentage points. In the CUNY system, you can also enroll in courses in between semesters. They're called intersessions. We see very large impacts on enrollment in those intersessions, up to 25 percentage points in some cases. So this is having a big effect, and those effects translate into higher graduation rates. So our three-year results, you can see the control group graduated at 22%, but it's nearly doubled by this program. 40% of students in the program group graduated after 3 years. Now, I mentioned this is very expensive, and Tom was talking about cost effectiveness and how important that is. This program, at least the version that we studied, costs about $6,000 per student each year. So this is $18,000 over the course of students' academic careers for 3 years. But when we do a cost effectiveness analysis, it's actually cost effective. We're paying more for students, but it costs a lot already to educate students, and the graduation rates are so high that paying more for students, we're seeing so many more graduates that the program is actually cost effective. So here again, you know, our previous studies that I talked about, the learning communities demonstration, the performance-based scholarship demonstration, in both of those studies, we saw larger effects in our early programs, and then in the follow-up programs, we did not see as strong results, although we did see positive results. Here, we're really trying to replicate this, and we're launching a replication in Ohio at three colleges and tailoring the program, working with CUNY and the Ohio colleges to figure out how to do this program in a way that makes sense for the students in Ohio and for the colleges there, and really trying to see if there's a place where we can launch this more broadly across the country since it's been so effective in New York. We'll also be doing long-term follow-up, and this program, as you know, is getting a lot of attention. It's been cited by the White House, and it's something that we really have high hopes for in terms of the replication studies and the programs. So just briefly, we've also launched in partnership with the Community College Research Center A new center to study post-secondary readiness, developmental education. This includes three large studies. There's a nationally representative survey of colleges where we'll be learning more about reforms that colleges are implementing, learning more about their assessment practices, how those assessment practices have changed in recent years, and what are really the choices that are driving colleges' decisions in these areas. And to some of the other points, how colleges' practices might differ for non-traditional students. So we think this will be very informative to get systematic information across the country and also to generate new ideas of programs that we might want to study. We're testing an assessment study across the state of New York where six colleges are randomly assigning students to be placed into college-level courses or developmental courses, either based on their existing placement method or on a new algorithm that takes into account students' academic history, that uses their transcript records and other information to try to predict how they would do and to identify students that may be ready for college that would otherwise have been underplaced, and to test whether or not that's an effective way. And if these students are, in fact, more ready for college than we previously recognized and that we previously placed them. And there's also an instruction study where we're evaluating a very comprehensive reform, again, in Texas. This is the new Mathways project, which is giving students more opportunity to advance out of algebra to take courses and math instruction that's designed to be more relevant to their career aspirations, that's tied to different forms of teaching. So it's more hands-on rather than lecture-based. It accelerates students more quickly through the developmental education and into college-level materials. And again, we're doing an RCT of this study across the state of Texas. And so all of these reports are available on our website, and I'm more than happy to talk now or follow up afterwards. Thank you.
I'm Ann Stevens, the director of the Center for Poverty Research at UC Davis, and I want to thank you for listening. The center is one of three federally designated poverty research centers in the United States. Our mission is to facilitate nonpartisan academic research on domestic poverty, to disseminate this research, and to train the next generation of poverty scholars. Core funding comes from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information about the center, visit us online at poverty.ucdavis.edu.